I know you and I'll agree. What this world needs is a lot more me. Well, I have got the remedy. Gonna write my autobiography. I've led a fascinating life. Had a husband and a wife. But you will truly be amazed just how humble I've stayed. Enough about me, let's talk about you. What do you think of me? You must feel such gratitude that you will get to read my autobiography.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Nine-time Grammy Award nominee Janice Ian is a formidable talent and a force of nature. You know her as the writer of the famous songs Jessie, Stars, and the seminal At 17, which was elected into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Reviewers have called her live performances overwhelming to the spirit and soul, and, drenched with such passion, the audience feels they've been swept up in a hurricane. The Clark Art Museum in Williamstown, Massachusetts, will present two Janice Ian events this week. The first is Society's Child, A Life in Song, a free evening of recollections and readings from Janice Ian's book, Society's Child. That will take place on Thursday, April 19th at 5:30. Then on Friday, April 20th at 8, she'll give a concert. Janice Ian joins us now. Janice, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
You are giving two events at the Clark, the first being an evening of recollections and readings from your autobiography, 2008's Society's Child. What do you like about presenting an evening like that?
Well, I vary with those kind of presentations between a full master class, which is usually about 2.5 hours and is more a passing on of what my mentors have taught me to whoever is interested, to something like this, which is a fairly informal book reading and just stories from life. The way I figure it, having started at 12, I'm now going on 48 years in the music industry and the arts. And I've done everything from movies to science fiction story writing to lecturing for librarians groups and master classes at universities. So I figure I must have learned something within that period. And I find that I draw a lot of not just entertainers for those kind of things, but women's groups, groups about disability, because my mom was disabled and I've been a big advocate of that. Science fiction readers, readers of all kinds, librarians, because I do a lot of work with libraries. I usually leave about half an hour for a Q&A that takes us pretty far afield sometimes.
Sure.
And I usually illustrate a little bit with songs. So it should be an interesting time.
Was songwriting the first writing you ever did?
No, I started writing poetry pretty much as soon as I could write, or what was called poetry. It was just really bad collections of words strung together.
Sure. And then that evolved to lyrics?
I think that it was just a natural outgrowth for me. My family was very musical, and I always listened to a lot of music. There was always music in the house. The day that I realized that people actually wrote songs was the day that I started trying to write a song.
And how does that relate to, if it does, to something like science fiction writing?
Well, it's all writing. I mean, I think that's the bottom line. Writing is writing. It doesn't mean that you're going to be good at all the forms. I'm a terrible poet. I mean, I would pity anyone who had to deal with me as a poet. But I'm a good prose writer and a good songwriter. It's just a question of finding out which forms your talent leads you to, that your talent best serves, I think. And for me, there's not a big demarcation between forms. It's like music, you know. There are people who say blanketly, I hate jazz, or I hate reggae. And to me, it's just all music. There's music that I would listen to before I'd listen to other music, because the other music doesn't tweak me, but doesn't invalidate it.
You mentioned a moment ago that when you present an evening like this or one of your master classes, that you impart the music, the information you've learned from your mentors. Who have been some of your mentors?
Oh, I've been so lucky. I came upon most of them in my 30s and later, which meant that I really had to flounder on my own, which was good for me. But Ella Fitzgerald was a mentor to me, Chet Atkins. Stella Adler was probably the biggest acting teacher. Stella was an astonishing force and influence on my life. A lot of the women I've known over the years, and people who did singular acts of kindness, people like Gloria Steinem, even people like Janis Joplin when I was a kid, those people have all taught me really important things about not just being a performer, but being female in the music industry and the arts, being an artist in particular, which is, I think, the area that interests me most now.
When you studied and became close friends with Stella Adler, what was some of the most important things you learned from her?
Trust your talent. Trust your talent. That's a very difficult thing because I think that most artists live in fear because our talent is so magical even to us that we don't know how it works or why one day you write a great song and the next day you can't write anything. So it's hard to learn to trust that the talent will be there, that you can be in service to it, but it's also in service to you. It's a big lesson.
And it's a struggle you still face?
No.
Okay,
no, I trust my talent, absolutely.
Wonderful. How has your songwriting process changed over the years?
I'm more picky.
Okay.
I probably spend less time going down blind alleys, hopefully, anyway. Songs are harder to write now because... I don't want to sound arrogant and just say I've written so much, but I have written so much.
Of course.
So there are a lot of topics that I feel like I wouldn't write about a concentration camp after having written Tattoo. Although never say never now that I think of it. I don't know. I am less accepting of my own inadequacies. I'm less willing to indulge myself. You know, science fiction writers have a great phrase. It's called kill your children. And when you're sitting there writing and you may have a line or a verse that you really love, that you just think is wonderful, I just finished a song like that. And I wound up killing the last verse because no matter how much I loved it, it was hurting the song and it was superfluous. Economy, that's probably the main thing.
And how about performing? Has performing changed over the years?
Yeah, I think probably that's a much bigger shift for me than writing because I'm not nearly as talented a performer as I am a writer. And again, I say that without ego. I think that talent is something you're born with, and it's a stroke of luck to be born talented in the arts. But I had to learn about being a performer. I've watched Bette Midler and Tina Turner for years, and they're natural performers.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone like me really has to think about it and has to absorb it in a different way. It doesn't come naturally.
Do audiences expect you to play Society's Child at 17, Jesse, Stars?
Of course, that's what they're paying for.
Do you mind at all?
No, I think I'm extremely lucky that all of my popular songs anywhere in the world, because they change from country to country, are all songs that I really like. I've been lucky that I haven't recorded since my 20s, anyway, I haven't recorded that much that I don't like. So to pull out a song like Jesse, I mean, that's an amazing thing to have in your catalog, too.
Mm-hmm,
how
absolutely.
Lucky am I?
Jesse, come home. There's a hole in the bed where we slept. Now it's growing cold. Hey, Jesse, your face in the place where we lay by the hearth, all apart, it hangs on my heart, and I'm leaving the light on the stairs. No, I'm not scared. I wait. Jesse, I'm lonely, I'm home.
I wrote it in 73 or 7, yeah, 73. So that's 40 years ago. Who would have thought that anybody would still be listening to that song? To me, that's astonishing and lucky.
And when you put together a concert, do you build a set list or do you take requests or how do you do that now?
All of the above. Nowadays, I walk on stage with what I think of as a suggestion to myself of the format. I pretty much know the top and bottom of each set. In between, I encourage audiences to leave notes on the stage, big enough that I can read them, just asking for a particular song. I encourage people to send notes backstage. I have a running list of about 40 songs that I can draw from. So it's pretty open-ended. I enjoy it that way, though. It's one of the big advantages of working solo. That plus you can take a solo anytime you feel like it.
It keeps the evenings interesting. You don't have to.
It does. I'm a writer, and I bore easily. I bore myself easily. So it's not good for me to do the same show night after night. And I think that's one of the reasons why I get so many repeat audience members, because people know that it's going to be at least slightly different.
So it seems to me that you will be able to perform as long as you choose to. You will have an audience, you have an established persona in society that is respected and admired. How long do you imagine you'll keep going out there?
Well, until somebody gives me enough money so I can stay home and write. I mean, really, it's part of the way that I earn my living. You know, I'm not going to say that I don't enjoy it, because I do enjoy it, and there's still a huge thrill. I mean, this year I went to Israel, Glasgow, Barcelona, Ireland.
This year, this calendar year already.
Yeah, that was just January. But there's a huge thrill to that, too. You know, it's amazing to go somewhere and play for an audience that's really receptive. You hear at 17 being sung back to you by 2,500 people. That's hard to beat.
I imagine.
There's that thrill. On the other hand, the older I get, and I'm just 61 now, the more toll it takes on my body. And I think the harder it is, in particular, as a woman, where I really saw a huge difference in the media once I let my hair go gray and then white. I'm now, in media minds, classified as old. And so there's a huge difference to that. I think you're fighting that perception as a performer as you age, and there's really not much of a roadmap.
You say you let your hair go gray and then white. You decided...
Well, it started doing that when I was 16, so I colored it for most of my life. And then one day I thought, this is crazy. So I stopped. It took about 6 months for all the color to wear out, but now it's white.
Right.
And I like it.
I like it, too.
And my partner likes it, you know, but I contrast that with the pictures of Bonnie Raitt for her new record with that beautiful red hair. And I love Bonnie. I think Bonnie's astonishing. But it's a different look. When you see Bonnie as what? Bonnie's in her 60s, and you look at the picture, and then you look at me in my 60s and look at the picture, the perception is that I'm much older, and there's nothing I can do about that. But it is a perception that you have to fight. And that's, you get tired of fighting that kind of stuff, you know, and rather just go home and be a writer.
And if you were able to stay home and write, would you write everything that you've been writing so far, maybe songs for other people, or would you still record them?
I don't know. I would probably record them just because I love to record and I love singing. But I really love writing for other people. I've just finished a project for Monica Mancini with a couple of songs. And I did a project last year with Angela Aki, a Japanese friend of mine. I love writing for other people. So that's a big area. Touring takes a lot of time. I mean, I'm coming up there for, 2 days? But that's 4 days out of my life. So that's 4 days that I could have been working on a short story or writing a novel or finishing up a collection of my articles for an ebook or any one of the other things I like doing. It's Catch 22.
Janice Ian will be at the Clark Thursday, April 19th for Society's Child, Life and Song, a free evening of recollections and readings from her book, Society's Child. And on Friday, April 20th, there will be a concert. Janice Ian, have fun at the Clark. It's a beautiful area. And
that's what I hear. I hear you've got a Wild Oats right down the street from our hotel. So that'll be great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for good questions. Nothing stupid there. I enjoyed that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Janice Ian will read from her autobiography at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts on Thursday at 5:30 and give a concert there on Friday at 8. Visit clarkart.edu for more information. clarkart.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I learned the truth at 17. Their love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear-skinned smiles who married young and then retired. The Valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth were spent on one more beautiful. At 17 I learned the truth. And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in the social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone, who called to say, come dance with me. It isn't all it seems. It's 17.